With so many religions in the world today, how can we know which, if any, is true? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June is Religion on Trial, Examining Religious Truth Claims. It's written by regular guest Craig Parton. Learn more about Religion on Trial at IssuesETC.org or call Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Religion on Trial by Craig Parton.
Planned Parenthood said that they want to help the communities, especially the black community, even though their founder, Margaret Sanger, said, and I'm paraphrasing them just a little bit, colored people are like weeds, they need to be exterminated.
When we hold to the good, godly distinctions between men and women in Scripture, it should be no surprise to us that in the same way that preaching the Word of God clearly makes us isolated from all the rest of the world.
The one who forgave you all your sins with his blood, he is not abandoning you to the grave. No, he's not going to forget you. He's made you his own.
I'm Vicky.
And I'm Ron from Ontario, Canada.
Confessional Lutherans who play in German polka bands, Love, Issues, Etc.
There is an idea popular in cosmology, you know, the study of the universe and the study of universe's origins and all of those things. It's a popular idea that could be summed up in a simple phrase, that anything that can happen will happen. And since we live in a world of infinite possibilities, and perhaps some would even argue infinite number of universes, then anything can happen and must happen. Now, in the world of theology, you would think that not anything could happen. There has to be some boundaries on the kind of bright new ideas that preachers and televangelists in a pop American Christianity might have, but apparently not. Apparently not. I don't think I ever anticipated reading the words doctrinal transgenderism in my long time hosting this radio program, but here I am. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity, here in the second hour of Issues Etc. with Pastor Chris Rosebro, and we're going to be talking about what he calls doctrinal transgenderism. Welcome back, and thanks for tuning us in on this Friday afternoon. After our conversation with Pastor Rosebro, it's time to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. You can vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Or you can wait and vote by giving us a call, 1-877-623-6943, sending us a tweet at IssuesETC, or an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Joining us for This Week in Pop American Christianity to talk about what he's calling doctrinal transgenderism, Pastor Chris Rosebro, pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
When you allegorize Scripture, are there any limits to your interpretation and or misinterpretations?
No limits whatsoever. I would say that generally when you allegorize a text, the limitations would be bound by, say, you know, what the culture would tolerate or endure. And the culture that we find ourselves in here in the 21st century in the United States, you know, pretty much anything goes. And that's beginning to be reflected in really, you know, bold print in many evangelical churches today as pastors allegorize texts and, you know, let's just say, try to outdo themselves as far as telling people what they want to hear. And in so doing, the limits of where allegory goes in the Bible, just there doesn't seem to be any borders anymore, because our culture doesn't seem to have any as well.
I remember in my seminary days, and we are now going back almost 30 years, no, more than 30 years now, here in St. Louis, just as kind of a spelunking operation, just going and exploring uncharted territory, several fellow students and I traveled to a church here in St. Louis whose pastor was last name Crank. I remember him. I remember he was a very dynamic preacher. He was, and I remember he had a a rather large lady who played the organ for him while he preached, and she knew exactly where to hit the notes. That's about it. Is he any relation to David Crank?
Yes, the fellow that you went and spelunked at, cave dwelling, I guess that's how that we look at that. That was David Crank's father. And David Crank was coming up through the ranks there. And now David Crank, his father has passed away. And David Crank and his wife, Nicole, have a very large church in the St. Louis area, Earth City, if I'm not mistaken. And it's called Faith Church, and it's a multi-site mega church. They got multi-sites in Florida and other places, and he's prominently featured on the Trinity Broadcasting Network. So he's kind of eclipsed his father as far as fame is concerned, and his star is really still kind of on the rise in evangelicalism.
So what are we going to hear from him today? You got to explain doctrinal transgenderism.
Okay, we'll explain it and then we'll start to put our toes in the water on this one. I hope everyone is wearing safety gear. So this is a phenomenon that I am seeing over and again within evangelical churches where they are literally telling the men in the audience to envision themselves in kind of feminine, not like dresses and things like that, but feminine biological acts. And so as if somehow God wants us as men to birth things. A growing number of evangelicals will talk about the importance of men being impregnated, of men giving birth, and things like that. And generally, this has to do with what we've talked about in the past, the dream destiny thingy doctrine. But in this particular sermon from David Crank, he pulls out all the stops. And the sermon doesn't begin in scripture. It actually kind of begins with him making a claim and then referring to his wife's pregnancy from a few years back. I'll just have to let him explain it.
I want to talk to you today about being pregnant. And I know what you think is, what do guys know about being pregnant? And we know a little bit, not a lot. But I want to talk about being spiritually pregnant. So oftentimes you don't look pregnant, but you know you are. Talking about that business, talking about that dream, talking about that next level. Here's a picture of Nicole when she was pregnant with Ashton. She's telling me there she is pregnant. I'm like, you don't look pregnant. You can tell from that shirt kind of up high, that's how she got pregnant. Okay, come on, somebody. You saw the next shot you saw there. How many of y'all know she wasn't lying? Give it up for Nicole. That's Ashton inside the belly. Okay. Now, once we did find out that she was pregnant, and then a few months passed, they did this thing to where they put jelly on the belly, and they started running this cold little thing. Any women know what I'm talking about? She goes, oh, it's cold. But what were they doing right there? They were doing an ultrasound. And so what was in there was Ashton. We didn't know that she could sing like that. We didn't know that she'd have angel wings on her. If you were at the women's conference, you know what I'm talking about. We didn't know how cool she was. We just knew she was moving and grooving in there. And there's this umbilical cord that was moving in there too. She was on like this lifeline from her mom. She was eating what mom was eating. She was hearing what mom was hearing. There was a development stage that was happening. And we knew that it was either a boy or a girl. How many of y'all know that's probably what it's going to be? Okay. But I want to do almost like a spiritual ultrasound on you today and say, hang on a minute. What are you pregnant with that you need to give birth to? What's in your belly? I've been pregnant a lot of times with ministries, with resource, television ministry, this church.
Okay, so I think I'm getting where you're going with doctrinal transgenderism. He is encouraging this notion among all of his hearers, including his men, that they ought to be pregnant on a regular basis with what?
Well, that's kind of the thing. It could be just about anything. You could be pregnant with a business. You could be pregnant with a ministry idea. You can be pregnant with a 501c3 organization that's going to obliterate poverty or basically any dream or vision that you have for making the world a better place or making your family better. That could be something that you are quote-unquote pregnant with. Now, what I find fascinating is the switch from the idea of like fathering to now mothering. It's a weird change that we're seeing within evangelicalism. And over and again, you know, when I hear stuff like this on my program, you can just hear me revolting and saying, I don't have a uterus. I've never been pregnant, will never get pregnant. And nowhere in Scripture am I told that I need to get pregnant or give birth or have an ultrasound. It's this weird, you know, feminizing in an allegorical way, in, you know, somehow this, you know, we're not even talking about good works or sin anymore. This is about, you know, things that you want to do in order to make the world or your life better.
How much of this is kind of monkey see, monkey do, where you may get a guy like David Crank who comes up with this metaphor, oh yeah, I'm going to talk about being pregnant with this, like giving birth to ideas. And of course, these things don't stay in his church. It gets passed around and other evangelicals hear it. And pretty soon it becomes kind of the language du jour of evangelicalism.
Yeah, you can now say that doctrinal transgenderism and getting pregnant in the spirit is now an airborne phenomenon in evangelicalism. But yeah, I think a lot of that comes into play, because one of the things I've really noted about evangelicalism is one guy will kind of be the trendsetter, but other people, like, they listen to each other and rip off ideas and then embellish on them or play off the same themes and things like that. And so David Crank is not the first guy I've heard speak like this. One of the very first fellows I've heard talk in this way was actually Joel Osteen, talking about being impregnated. And so, you know, and Osteen and Crank are really good friends. So, you know, it makes you wonder if this doesn't have its origin with Osteen.
What's next from David Crank on becoming pregnant in the spirit?
Now, a very blasphemous handling of Scripture, because immediately, you know, the astute Christian would say, wait a second, you're saying that God wants me, a dude, to be pregnant. Do you have a biblical text that teaches this? Watch where he goes in this soundbite to make it look like this is an actual biblical doctrine.
There's this seed that hits your heart, and it's just as supernatural as when the Holy Spirit overshadowed precious Mary, and she conceived Jesus. Of course, Jesus always was, always will be, but he needed an earth suit. He needed a body. So he comes down and he chooses to come through this woman. And now he walks around for 33 years and does what he does. But that conception is happening, and it's happened to a lot of you guys. You got pregnant with something. You did the ultrasound. You told your family, going to start the business, going to the next level. And they're like, you don't look pregnant. You can't do that. And you're going, now, if the umbilical cord and your prenatal vitamins are right, you say, it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my spirit, says the Lord. Oh, yeah, I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed going out. Oh, yeah, no weapon formed against me will prosper. I know that what God is doing in me is greater than what the devil's going to do to me. And I choose not to hear that. I choose to believe the word of God. Like Mary said, she said, be it unto me. Everybody shout, be it unto me.
Be it unto me.
Be it unto me. If I preach the way you responded, you never come hear me. Let's try that again. Say, be it unto me.
Be it unto me.
There you go. That's it. So you get enthusiastic about the dream. You start preparing for the dream. You buy baby furniture. As soon as Nicole found out she was pregnant, she went to Walmart, y'all. She went to Target. She was everywhere because she was planning on the manifestation of this child that she knew was on the inside of her. And there were times when Ashton moved like crazy. I've told the story before where we were in Mexico for like a week and the baby didn't move and she was freaking out because the enemy and the enemy are saying, you had a miscarriage before, the baby died, what's going to happen? You can't base what God's getting ready to do on what happened last time, because it's a new season. It's a new day. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. Just because it didn't work out with this woman doesn't mean it ain't going to work out with this one. Some of you girls, you're believing God for Boaz and you keep getting Bozo. This is your banner year. Somebody ought to go with me on this, but you got to get positive about it.
Okay, Chris, I got a couple questions about that. But first of all, if you would, before the break, deal with how he, I think you said blasphemous misuse of Scripture when it comes to the visitation of the Virgin Mary?
Yeah, so Mary learning that she would be pregnant, the angel Gabriel appearing to her and letting her know that she was going to give birth to the Messiah. This really touches on the very heart of the gospel itself. I mean, this gets wrapped up in our confessions when we confess that, you know, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was born of the Virgin Mary. And so that visitation now is evacuated of its gospel significance, that God himself was stepping into, you know, into humanity in order to save us, to redeem us, die for our sins. And instead, the Virgin Mary is now being held up as an example of a person who, well, God wanted her to, you know, she had a dream to change the world and she got pregnant because she said, be it unto me. So you dudes out there, you're going to become pregnant just like the Virgin Mary became pregnant. And you're going to be pregnant with a business or pregnant with a ministry or something like this. I mean, it's utterly blasphemous when you consider what's going on here, because Jesus and what he's done for us gets kicked to the curb, and instead you're filled with this nonsense. Well, the Virgin Mary got pregnant because the Holy Spirit spoke to her. Well, the Holy Spirit's speaking to me, so I must be pregnant with a dream as well. I mean, this isn't even remotely lucid, let alone right handling of biblical texts.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity on this Friday, June the 15th. We're looking at what he's calling doctrinal transgenderism. David Crank and his idea of becoming pregnant in the Spirit. We'll be right back.
Church music directors can find a new community at Prelude to Postlude, the CPH music blog. Learn helpful tips for managing music ministry and involving members, and meet the composers of some of your favorite new pieces. Plus, find suggestions of music to use for special services, and preview some of our newest works with free samples you can use at your church. Visit us at preludetopostlude.org.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues Etc.
When pastors talk about us, they call us ad crucem. When laity mention us, they speak of ad crucem. When non-Lutherans address us, they say ADC Rucam. But no matter how you say it, Ad Crucem is the place to go for greeting cards, artwork, jewelry, ornaments, housewares, church certificates, church banners, and all your gift-buying needs. Visit adcrucem.com, confessing the faith through art and word. ADC, RUCEM.com.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/LCMSU.
I will make you birthday cakes. Cookies, brownies, sell you anything else in the shop. I just don't do cakes for same-sex weddings. At which point, both of them stood up, swore at me, flipped me off, stormed out of my shop.
Do we need all the things that we think we have to spend money on? Do we need to make as much money as we think we need?
Someone will say, well, let's talk about assisted suicide. Suddenly, all elderly people are treated beautifully by their families. All doctors have this kind, loving relationships with people who all have access to the best health care there is, and they still want assisted suicide.
Christianity absolutely can be falsified. If the resurrection didn't occur, if that body is in the ground, Paul says we should all be hedonists.
In the last 25 minutes of Issues Etc., we're going to be playing Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. You'll hear those soundbites in their entirety, and you'll have the opportunity to win the LPR bundle package. That's an I Have Issues t-shirt, an Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, and notepad. It goes to the listener with the best vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, coming up in about 10 minutes here on Issues Etc. In the meantime, it's This Week in Pop American Christianity. We're talking about doctrinal transgenderism. Pastor Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith is our guest. So, Chris, summarize, if you would, where we've come so far with David Crank and his doctrinal transgenderism.
So he's basically postulated that that we as men, we need to be impregnated by God the Holy Spirit in the same way the Virgin Mary was, spiritually speaking, though, not physically, although Mary was physically pregnant. And this spiritual pregnancy will, you know, what God will put into our uteruses, our wombs, our dreams, visions, plans to make the world a better place, ministries, businesses, things of that nature. And no biblical text talks this way. And in fact, any man talking this way from a pulpit or a stage more than makes me nervous, to say the least, because I do not have the plumbing to give birth to anything, let alone a business. So it's just absolutely a bizarre scratching of itching ears, if you would, telling people what they want to hear rather than telling them about Christ.
What is next from David Crank?
So this is going to be him, you know, kind of the one of the things you'll note about preachers like David Crank is that they make little closes along the way leading up to the big conclusion. And so we're going to hear him kind of come full circle in the teaching before he dives off and kind of, you know, loops around and, you know, says the same thing from a different perspective. But it's very fascinating, the biblical text that he pulls in to try to continue to support this idea, and then the manipulation he engages in order to basically get people to say and to speak out that they are pregnant, even the men in the audience.
Shout, I'm pregnant. Now, Jeremiah 1 verse 5, it says, God, before I formed you in the belly, I knew thee. Before I formed you, I knew thee. God knew me before the foundation of the world. And he set an individual path and a course for you. And so what's happening now is on the inside of me, and you can transpose this over into your own life, there was something different in me than in you. And you're called to birth something different than I am. Your kid looks different than my kid. Your dream looks different than my dream. But God has a unique plan for every one of us to fulfill this thing that he has for us. And I'm going to work all things together for the good of those that are called according to his purpose. So whatever you do right now, if you're going through a mean time, somebody ought to help me. If you're going through a bad situation, if it feels like the baby's not going to be born, you just stick with it. We checked on the inside. You are pregnant. God is going to do it. He said, I know the plans I have for you, and they're for good and not for evil, to bring you to an expected end. You ought to say amen to that. You ought to get excited about that. You ought to say, be it unto me. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm pregnant.
Okay, Chris, that was the other question I had about that and the previous sound bites we've heard from David Crank. And that is, and you mentioned it before, this kind of manipulative rhetoric and style that is not unique to him, by which he is essentially acquiring his audience to assent to something that there may be a Chris Roseborough sitting out in that audience who's like, I'm not sure about this. But by the end of that, he's yelling, I'm pregnant.
Yeah, I just thinking, what kind of liturgy is this? You know, you think about in the divine service, you know, after we read a passage of scripture, we say, this is the word of the Lord. And people respond by saying, thanks be to God. Or this is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You know, that's one thing. But I mean, here you've got a strange liturgy where at the end of it, the congregational response, male and female, is, I'm pregnant. I mean, what is this? I mean, and really what we're dealing with is a form of manipulation. And by kind of getting people into a frenzy emotionally, and it kind of in a heavy-handed way, pushing for them to respond in these nonsensical ways. It is a means by which they are exerting manipulative control over people, which has really become a major factor within evangelicalism, where pastors are exercising this kind of control. And at the end of it, if you were to think rationally, what did I just say? What am I doing? You would probably immediately have doubts, because for many evangelicals, whether or not a sermon is a good sermon or a bad sermon has nothing to do with the content or whether it was absurd or lucid or biblically sound. Ultimately, it's going to come back down to, how did it make me feel, and did the pastor deliver it with passion? And so David Crank was passionate. He stayed ahead of the audience as far as their passion is concerned, and pushed them to greater passion in responding to the message that he delivered. And yet all of this was passion and zeal that wasn't based upon truth at all. It was passion and zeal based upon complete doctrinal absurdity. This absurd notion that I am a man, I'm supposed to get pregnant with ideas or destinies or whatever, and that I need to somehow overcome my doubts regarding whether or not the baby's going to arrive, and trust that David Crank has given me a correct diagnosis, that he's looked at my ultrasound and determined that the baby's there and that I need to push through so that I can give birth to it. I mean, this is just crazy talk if you were to just take away the emotion and read the words of what it is this man is saying and getting these people to say.
I am convinced, Chris, that the move to blur distinction between male and female, and not just to confuse, but to blur the distinction between male and female in our society, has a diabolical source. There's no doubt about it. This is the devil fighting against first creation and then ultimately the creator. But if it is that in society, it most certainly is that when we find it in the church. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I would absolutely agree. And even if the devil were taken out of the equation, you got to remember, man, in our rebellion against God, we hate God, born dead in trespasses and sins. We're at war with him. And that war with God ultimately has its source in the diabolical, going back to the Garden of Eden. But remember, we are active participants in this. And I find it fascinating that sinful human beings literally rebel against God, not only in the doctrines revealed in Scripture, but in the way they are made by God, male and female. Somehow this is too restrictive. This is too confining. And human beings in their rebellion against God want to break free from all of that. And what we heard David Crank do, in a way, just feeds into our sinful culture and our sinful nature's rebellion against God, in the wonderful distinction in how God has created us, both male and female, in his image. And that image is blurred and marred when you hear preaching like this. And it all it does is, you know, give even more fuel to the fire going out there in the world of social justice and other places.
If David Crank is doing it this week, some David Crank wannabe will be doing it next week. And should we expect to hear more of this kind of nonsense from lesser lights than David Crank?
Oh, that is most certainly true. In fact, I would already say that there's some fellow out there and who wants to have a mega church like David Crank and have a television ministry like David Crank, who's already got sermon notes where he's ripped off this entire concept and is trying to figure out how to deliver it with the same passion and production value as David Crank did, so that he can experience the same kind of growth in his ministry. And sadly, people who do that have given up their biblical duty to preach the word in season and out of season. My job is not to ape David Crank or even Todd Wilkin. My job as a pastor is to open up the word of God and preach and proclaim Christ and rightly handle God's word, law, and gospel. And men who aspire to be like David Crank have lost sight of their biblical duties as pastors, and it's very sad. They become underlings of the devil when they do that.
One thing more here, and this has been noted by the producer here at Issues, etc., that often with these preachers, you see a dynamic at work when they're interacting with their audience. They get a laugh or they get a reaction, and they go with it. It becomes the driver of their message. They They feed off of the reaction from the audience, and then the Bible gets tossed aside. And suddenly, ideas that they perhaps never would have conceived of before, they're extending the metaphors out into directions that are just positively nonsensical. Is that part of what we're seeing here when the preacher's getting his reaction?
Yeah, absolutely. And see, that's kind of the thing is that everything that they do, from the songs they sing to how long they sing them to the dark room with the disco ball lights and the laser light show and the smoke machine, everything in the seeker-driven and big-box churches is measured for its emotive value to evoke some kind of emotion or feeling from people in the audience. Ultimately, everything is geared towards the people who show up, when they leave, what were they made to feel, not what they were taught from Scripture to believe. And that's the problem, is that it's all about the experience. And at the end of it, the people there left feeling, I'm sure, euphoric about themselves and very, very positive about, you know, this idea that they're going to go and give birth to a vision or a dream or a business or a ministry that's going to change the world. But none of them were confronted with their sins. None of them heard about Christ and Him crucified for the forgiveness of their sins, nor were they told they are in need of being reconciled to God because of our sin, and that Christ has done that for us. Instead, their heads were completely filled with nonsense. They were emotionally manipulated from the time they hit the parking lot when they entered and to the time they left the parking lot on their way out, and they were not discipled in any meaningful way as Christians whatsoever.
Pastor Chris Rosebro is pastor of Consvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota. He hosts the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. You can listen to it in about a half hour at 5 Central at piratechristian.com, piratechristian.com. Chris, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
Luther Academy has been providing continuing education opportunities for Lutheran pastors in Madagascar, and recently the 4 million member Lutheran Church in Madagascar voted to begin to seek fellowship with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. You can learn more about how Luther Academy serves Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com. When we come back, it's time to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, a simple game we like to play with our listeners. We'll play 4 soundbites. You listen, then you'll give us a call, 1-877-623-6943, and your votes will decide which will be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. You can promote your confessional Lutheran church and support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining our congregational sponsorship program, the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. You'll find an informational flyer on the support page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. The Issues Etc. 300.
A year ago, my wife and I returned to America from 5 years of ministry in Karachi, Pakistan. I cannot adequately express how wonderful it was listening to Lutheran Public Radio's music broadcast each Sunday morning before church service. We still listen.
You can listen to Lutheran Public Radio, sacred music for the world, anytime, day or night, at LutheranPublicRadio.org, Amazon Echo, Google Home, and on the LPR mobile app.
40 years greatly blessed is this year's theme at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. We engage young adults in a Christ-centered environment and provide an alternative to secular public high schools. Please help us provide tuition assistance to more students by making a special 40th anniversary tax-deductible gift at MELHS.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Christ Lutheran is a welcoming congregation in Rochester, Minnesota, providing traditional liturgy and hymns, word and sacraments. Call 507-289-0271. That's 507-289-0271, or visit ChristRochester.org. Christ Lutheran Church, receiving and sharing Christ's mercy.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.